Good morning to all of you. Although our fall schedule formally begins in October, this does feel like the start of our intensive practice period to me. It's the end of summer and a time to reflect on our intention as we enter a few months of focus and commitment. And then all of this leads up to our Rahatsu session in December. So please welcome, be comfortable, shift position quietly if you need to. I would like to work on a koan today, which is an old favorite. It's the Voice of Raindrops, number 46 in the Blue Cliff Record. The master here, Ching Ching Kyose, was a Dharma brother of Yunmen and a Dharma heir of Shui Feng, who is Seppo. So here's the koan. Ching Ching asked a monk, "What is that sound outside?" "The sound of rain dripping," replied the monk. Ching Ching said, "Ordinary people are upside down, falling into delusion about themselves and pursuing outside objects." "What about you, yourself, your reverence?" asked the monk. And Ching Ching said, "I am on the brink of falling into delusion about myself." The monk asked, "Well, what do you mean on the brink of falling into delusion about yourself?" And Ching Ching said, "To attain the world of emptiness may not be so difficult, but to express the bare substance is hard." And another translation here is, "Emerging can be relatively easy, but the full expression must be hard." I don't know why, but I've always seen this monk walking alongside his teacher in an empty, barely lit hall, late evening or in the dark of night. Maybe even outside under the eaves of a covered walkway. The building is quiet, no one else is around. Other sights and sounds have receded, and there is only the rain falling on the roof, dripping from the roof, running down gutters. What is that sound outside? What is that sound? When we let ourselves become completely quiet, we find that we can listen with our whole body. Everything becomes one listening. Our eyes listen, our chest, our hands, even our fingernails listen. What is this sound? Listening, looking, feeling. All our senses are doorways if we let the world in, come forward, and if we let our thinking, calculating minds recede and become quiet. What is important is that we unhook from the addiction most of us have to thinking and let all of the circular mental activity with which we are totally preoccupied come to rest. If we don't stir silty water and chase after our thoughts, our minds naturally settle and become clear. The problem is, we just love that stirring. Master Dogen says that to study the way, which is to practice the Dharma, is to study the self. And then he says that the study of the self happens when we forget ourselves. We forget ourselves as we let go. This letting go is not going into vacancy, but in giving ourselves up entirely to our own practice, trusting it and making it our complete care and focus. Over and over, releasing everything else, carry your own practice as your own body that close, no matter what you are doing, walking, sitting, opening a door, taking a shower. Dogen says, cast away all involvements, cease all affairs, and let the myriad things rest. Let the mental circus slow down and come to rest. Stop. Just be one mu, one breath, one listening, without dividing your attention. Then the edges of your body, the boundaries of your mind, can naturally relax, open, and get porous. When you don't split your awareness and let everything be one doing, you discover a deep silence which is already present, even in the busiest of places or times. A deep silence which is always available to you, which is you. Let yourself be very, very quiet, very still in whatever you do. If I say just one mu, just one breath, maybe that's a bit off. It's maybe better to say completely one mu, completely one breath, completely this, and then this. Nothing left out, everything included. If you look, the space between your thoughts has no edges, it's huge and vast. What is that sound? What is this? That question is maybe enough. That's the sound of rain dripping. The sound of rain dripping. Is that really what it is? Really? Without a yes or no, Ching Ching comments, ordinary people are upside down, falling into delusion about themselves and pursuing outside objects. Upside down, turned around. John Dido Lurie said, Zen practitioners the world over work day and night at untying what is bound and releasing what is stuck. But if we are confused and out of touch with what we really are, it all becomes a matter of running around chasing after things. The moment we chase for a word, like rain, to describe our experience, we've already moved away. We know we are upside down, confused, maybe in pain about our lives, about other people, about ourselves. That's why we come to practice. We have good intentions, but once we take off our shoes, bow, and take a seat on a cushion or a chair, what happens? Are those knots loosening, or do we find that we brought all that binding along with us? Stories and hopes, a litany of past history? Sometimes it seems we would like to do anything but be here right now. And the quieter we get, the more our upside-downness simmers and bubbles up. Maybe we're trying to be very diligent day and night, untying what is bound, releasing what is stuck, but we get too busy and we make more knots, finer and finer ones, even harder to untie. As long as we practice as if we are searching, what we are searching for is outside of us, is not already what we are, it's like going to war with ourselves, lost in a thicket of beliefs. We run around wildly, even though we sit quietly on our cushions, trying to improve who we are, hoping to correct a painful past, or maybe just to improve our mood of right now. All of this, trying to be more comfortable, trying to fix ourselves, is nothing more than pursuing outside objects. The Buddha said that all sentient beings, each of us, have inherent wisdom and virtue. We all have Buddha nature. We all already are Buddha nature. But because we are clouded by deluded thoughts and attachments, we don't see it. The truth of things, how things are, is completely inclusive. There is no aspect of you or your past or of this world which is left out, no hidden dark side banished and not part of this practice. So we have to meet everything. Even your private no, that big resistance, the secret doubt, even that no has its place, and there is plenty of space. Why split who and what you are? Why chop up your undivided life? Trusting your practice means turning into your mu, into your breath, even into your resistance, into whatever is your experience of this moment, dark or light. You don't have to agree or disagree, don't have to accept or reject, just meet it. Just see it for what it is. All the yes that is needed. There is a poem about this koan which goes like this. Seeing with ears, hearing with eyes, there is no doubt that the jewel-like raindrops dripping from the eaves are myself. It's a very beautiful poem, but these words, they're all about knowing. They're knowing words. They have already moved away from shh. What if you did not move away from that sound? It takes a lot of courage to be innocent and simple, to let a sound rob you of words and of all thought images. When my son was very young, I remember what he said to me one time when his older sister was teasing him. He said, "I know lots of things in this world." Maybe we do know lots of things, too many things in this world. It's how we make the ground beneath our feet solid, how we create our favorite story, the story of me. But the Roshi says, ordinary people are upside down, falling into delusion about themselves and pursuing outside objects. It's such a gentle but pointed response, and it reminds me a lot of Nanchuan, who said about a peony, "People these days see this flower as if in a dream." Who is this ordinary, upside-down person? Maybe you, maybe me. Aren't we ordinary people? To be ordinary every day, that's important. Dogen says that the person who advances in the way is an ordinary person. Of course, we actually can't know if we are advancing in the way. What about you? How is it for you? And Ching Ching answers, "I am on the brink of falling into delusion about myself." I have always been so touched by these words, always on the brink. That's our life. That's our practice. Without awareness, it's just a dream. You don't even see it. A verse by Wu Men goes, "Walking along the edge of a sword, running over jagged ice, you need take no steps, climb no ladder, leaping from the cliff with hands open. Each second, every second, we leap and fall into this moment and then into this one. The edge of the sword, that's paying attention, breath by breath, dropping off, getting back on, you remember your practice. You come back. But that leap, the leap with open hands, that's letting go, not knowing, stepping from 100-foot pole onto another. To attain the world of emptiness may not be so difficult, but to express the bare substance is hard. Over time, this has come to me as the heart of this koan. For a lot of us, to really see that there is no ground, it actually can be hard. Years ago, I visited Robert Aiken in Hawaii. It was around the time that a very small book came out. The name of the book is Pure Heart, Enlightened Mind. And it's the story of Maura Shoshin O'Halloran, who was an Irish girl who trained as a nun in a very small temple in Japan. She described very rigorous training and many hardships, enduring frostbite, hunger, and her 1,000 days training, which meant sitting down and sitting in zazen day and night without lying down. So her story was very inspiring, but it was also quite troubling, because how many of us could do this? At Aiken Roshi's tiny zendo in Palolo, he took questions after a Sunday talk, and someone asked, "Is that what you have to do? Is that kind of training necessary? And he answered, No, it's not necessary. But later, I asked him myself, because in my early days in the Rochester Zen Center, it was a very tough culture. I read inspiring stories, I pushed very hard, sat a lot, tried not to lie down in session, and I don't know, maybe that was necessary for me, at least at that time. But I have to say my practice did not open until I was able to give up my self-doubt and accept my life as it was, all of my life. For a while, though, it was difficult, all uphill work. Anyway, Eiken Roshi sighed, and then he told me that after some 20 years of working on Mu, at the session where he finally had Kensho, can you imagine 20 years? He lay down on the kitchen floor each night because he was so worried he would fall asleep. That week, he said, he had to do something different. He thought, if not now, then when? If not here, then where? Each of us has to trust our own practice and find our own way in this. But I think harder than any physical exertion is not to get entangled by doubt and hesitation. They are so sticky and seductive. Can you just practice, no matter what you encounter, remembering to keep your heart whole? Only you can exhaust your deepest questions, but to do that, you have to be willing to sit right in the midst of them to meet everything that comes up, to sit right in the fire. And at some point, you have to let go of everything you have known. That is how the life you have known turns over. A Sung Dynasty poet, Su Deng Po, became enlightened in the mountains as he wandered lost in the sound of the stream. And here is his poem. The sound of the valley stream is his long, broad tongue that refers to the Buddha. The form of the mountain, isn't that his pure, clear body? In the course of the night, 84,000 gathas, tomorrow, how could I explain them to anyone else? The bell rings, you get up to walk. You flush the toilet. Whoosh! Another gatha. You smell your tea. Your whole body is warm and flowing. How could you possibly explain this to another person? There is no attaining the world of emptiness. It is this world, you and me, here and now. A world where people disagree, often bitterly, where those we love get sick and even die, where children face hunger, discrimination they do not understand, where some people struggle to eat each day and to find a place to sleep. It has gathas of love and joy, but also gathas of pain and loss and indifference. John Dido Laurie wrote, "When we step out of the way, our life pours through us. The universe pours through us. In each one of us lives an enlightened being, and the most important thing each one of us can ever do with our lives is to realize that, to make that enlightened being real as a free expression of our lives. When we do that, we make ourselves free, and that freedom is then actualized in everything we do, in the way we drive a car, grow a garden, prepare a meal, program a computer, raise a child, live a life, and die. Letting that enlightened being become real, authentic, genuine, it's not a question of a moment's insight or even of having had powerful experiences, but in the past. It is how we live second by second, how we are awake or not, right now. This is practice. All relationship, how we build our lives with other people, animals, and things. Can you get out of the way? Let yourself go so that the rain can enter and replace you as your own body and blood, so you yourself are raining. Let it all the way in. That's the work of this moment. But then, how do you express the bare essence? That's the work of this life. The commentary to this koan has another version. This time the monk is asked, "What's that sound outside the gate?" And he answers, "The sound of a snake eating a frog." And Ching Ching says, "I knew that sentient beings suffer. Here is another suffering sentient being." Haven't you yourself woken up at night to the cry of an animal and known that a life was ending? How do we honor this intimacy, the call of suffering beings? Listen. What is calling? Only you can meet the voices of your own world. How do you answer? No one can do this for you. Each call is for you alone. After all, snakes have to eat, also coyotes. Isn't that also Buddha Dharma functioning? Expressing the bare substance, the bare essence, it's hard. It's hard not because it's in any way forced or unnatural. After all, it's not just the sound outside the gate, it's what's right in front of you. Your own breath, your heart, the fingertips of your own hands. It's your life. So close to the bone, so simple and completely spare. Whether you are answering the phone or changing a diaper, whether you are in an argument in the kitchen or waking up in the middle of the night wishing you had acted differently, whether you are walking out in the street or into the hospital or into a classroom, holding the door for someone or giving up your spare change. When you completely commit yourself, is there any room to hesitate? What is that sound outside the gate? Together with all beings, we realize the way.